welcome to episode 145 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, we got Mark. Mark Zervis. Is that how you say it? That's how you say it. We got Mark Zervis in the house. One of the main reasons I wanted to bring Mark back on is I felt kind of bad about the last time he was on. It was for the tournament where he was trying to go for the three-peat, and he couldn't taste, like, anything.
Yeah.
So I was like...
And my beers were, what?
The first round. Yeah. But I didn't feel as sorry for you for that. No, I mainly felt sorry for you just because you couldn't really taste it.
Yeah, couldn't taste anything. Except for the alcohol content. That was about all I could taste was the level of alcohol.
Yeah, and I felt so bad because there were a lot of really good beers. But... Rebecca,
I'll probably never get a chance to taste again.
Yeah, some of those definitely, the Big John by Goose Island. But you can still say you had it; you just couldn't taste it. But Rebecca gave you a bottle of the Retribution to take home as a consolation prize, so you did have it.
I did enjoy that. I've had it before. That was the pumpkin right year, but it was like one of my first beers once I regained my taste, and it was pretty overpowering in terms of
the ABV's high.
Yeah.
And I had a pumpkin retribution the other night, and I thought that it was tasting a little bit like it had some coconut aspects coming out of it. I could definitely taste the pumpkin as well, but it just, for some reason, it was tasting like there was a little coconut to go with it.
Maybe that's your allergies.
That could be.
Because pumpkin and coconut.
And that's another thing to kind of say as a disclaimer right here. For these episodes I'm doing with Mark, I'm having allergy issues, so if I end up coughing or... you know, clearing my throat here or there. I apologize ahead of time for that. I'll try to edit that out as much as possible, but I can smell and I can taste. That's the good thing. I've just got a lot of coughing issues and mucus, so, you know. I did the decongestant spray.
I thought you were talking about the neti pot.
No, I would never. I just can't do this. It's too gross to me.
Yeah.
It's like people I knew when I was younger used to, like, snort floss up their nose and then pull it out
that
their mouth.
I've never heard
of. I feel like it would feel kind of like...
Plus, you have to like boil the water, let it cool down to room temperature before, you know, you can actually do anything.
Oh, yeah, because you can't put all these disgusting microbes in your brain.
Well, it's that amoeba parasite that'll, you know,
eat your brain.
Yeah, pretty much.
Eat your brain. Yeah. So. Mm. So, anyway, I'm sipping tea as well at the same time. Some Belgian mint tea. To kind of get things going. Hopefully that doesn't mess with
the hinting at a tea podcast?
No.
Okay.
No. If anything, I'd do a coffee podcast.
That I would enjoy.
Because I am a coffee fan, but... Are you a coffee fan as well? Well, I know you love coffee and stouts.
Yeah, I do.
Which we did... It hasn't aired yet when we're recording this, but we did a coffee stout comparison episode where it was Terrapin put out four beers and they were all done with single origin coffees, like different ones.
Oh, okay.
So that was really fun. So listen to that whenever it's up. I don't know when that is right now. And I think in a few weeks from now. But anyway, just to get into it, the normal stuff we do, some hop knowledge, which, by the way, this is the second to last hop.
The penultimate hop knowledge.
We're going to be done soon. And that's kind of sad, but I'm going to take a slight break after that and do something kind of different, a little fun. And then I think I'll get into malts after we do a little bit of the fun stuff. So... today we have Whitbread Golding hops, all right? Whitbread variety hops, also referred to as Whitbread Golding, as well as simply just WGV. A gentleman by the name of Mr. White raised this variety back in 1911 at his hop farm at Beltring in Kent, England. Its heritage is a cross between Bates Brewer Female, which is no longer grown, and an unknown male hop. It was spotted to have wilt tolerance and was marked with an ID at that time, 1147. I don't even know what that means. Oh, it's just the name at the time. Whitbread Brewery then bought the farm and later renamed the variety to Whitbread Golding variety, so after themselves. It's a dual-use hop that is commonly compared to regular Golding hops. Comes equipped with an alpha acid content of between 5 and 7.5%, which is kind of medium. It's still pretty low, but medium low. Commonly used in English and Belgian style ales, the bitterness is pure and crisp. The flavor from Whitbread Golding variety is more pronounced than Golding and is sweet in its essence with fruit flavors. The aroma is mild and hoppy, coming from the oils with a unique balance. Has a resistance to verticillium wilt as well as hop mosaic virus. Oh, that's interesting. Haven't heard that before. Its yield is fairly low at 1190 to 1278 pounds per acre. However, it has tested time and lasted a century in modern brewing so far. So, two examples of beers done with this. Caledonian Brewery's Fringe Benefit. I have not heard of that brewery, but sounds cool. And Westerham Brewery's British Bulldog.
Oh.
Some people just call it BB for British Bulldog.
Favorite wrestler of all time.
Oh, really?
Baby Boy Smith. British Bulldog.
Yeah, that's really funny because we just had... We just had Dan Kim on recently, and he was going nuts over wrestling, too, because we had the Saucony Creek Brewing's Hop Slam, and it's got, like, hops that look like Macho Man and the Ultimate Warrior on it, and he was going crazy about, man, I love wrestling, and so, yeah.
I should get you guys anymore. Together.
I should get you guys together. You can do a wrestling podcast.
I don't really watch it. Now, my cousin, on the other hand, I got out of it when it was, like, after the Attitude Era, which was early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
That was when they were still, like, a rated R type thing. Now they're PG and...
Ooh.
Yeah.
So what's left? It's just, like, a soap opera.
Lesser violence. There just isn't the wrestlers that... They never got replaced.
Yeah.
I won't bore you with that, though.
Well, I think... we're not going to go too far in this, but...
Like,
to
The Rock, Stone Cold, like, how many... you could name all those wrestlers, but how many wrestlers could you name now?
Well, I feel like now they're using a lot of the people's actual names.
Yeah, like John Cena.
So it's less of, like, an alter ego, like, character type thing. Just being
themselves. Yep.
Which seems kind of boring to me. But anyway, I haven't been watching that in a long time. But wanted to talk real quick about an update. We had an episode I was talking about... Rebecca and I were talking about our experience at Ocean City Brewing when we went there, and there's an update to what's going on with Ocean City Brewing. The I guess he's not technically the owner, but the guy who kind of put a lot of the money into it, and I guess he was listed as like head manager or something like that.
So he's not the owner?
Not technically.
Okay.
But in actuality, I believe he was the owner.
Okay.
And I have a theory as to why, but he... he was caught by the FBI for allegedly selling counterfeit sports memorabilia online under, like, he had, like, six different online companies that he was doing it. They said the sum was about $2.5 million that he made doing this since 2008. So they arrested him, and they were taking him to court. He was working on a plea deal. I don't know what the outcome of that was, but... the sentence was going to carry up to 20 years in prison, and then they were going to seize a lot of his assets. Although the Ocean City Brewing establishment will not be touched.
Because
I believe
that makes sense.
I believe it's because he put the Ocean City location under his girlfriend's name, I think.
Okay.
And he put the Bel Air location under his mother's name, from what I heard.
Like, you can already see how shady that is. That
right,
he's
I mean...
doing it even before, you know.
I think
he's arrested.
I think in essence what that is how you launder money.
Yeah, probably.
You basically take illegitimate money and you make it legitimate by putting it through a legitimate company. Which, I mean, technically Ocean City Brewing is a legitimate company, but a lot of people would argue that it's really not because as far as craft beer goes, it's a very illegitimate company because they don't really care about the beer.
That's true.
I mean, it really does. When you know this information, you can really see it and be like, oh, okay, this all makes sense why it's a crappy establishment because it was really just, oh, craft beer's making money. Just quick, do a brewery. Let's get the money in there. So, I mean, everyone... still free to go make up your own mind because maybe that brewery will change since this guy's potentially going away. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But
probably not, but sure.
And I do need to say, everything I said is alleged.
Allegedly.
I'm not saying anything.
You don't want to get arrested for it.
Right.
Libel, slander, whatever that is.
It's all alleged. So, but I will say that what I heard, and this is all allegations as well, is that what he was doing specifically was selling knockoff jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he would actually go and get the actual signature on these knockoff jerseys that he was getting from China. But a lot of people are saying, no, they were fake signatures. And also, they were saying that he was doing fake letters of authenticity for the products as well. So, I mean...
Crazy.
From the bottom up, allegedly.
Yeah, I mean... So, he's buying fake jerseys, but he's going to get real signatures. Like, if you're going to stoop that far, you might as well just, you know...
That was my theory on it, but the courts will decide whatever's going to happen there. So
beheading is it?
I don't think we do guillotine? That anymore. No, especially not for beer. Well, I don't think we do that. So that was just an update.
Forced to drink his own beer for the rest of his life.
Yeah. So I think with a lot of that stuff going on, kind of explains the experience of Ocean City Brewing.
I still haven't been there. I doubt I'll go.
Yeah, so. You don't need to.
Yeah.
But people were saying to me, they're like, oh, well, they've started doing, like, nights where they have, like, X percentage off of all bottles, which would be great, and can be great, actually, if you just go in and get something that you know can age, like stouts or something like that. I wouldn't get anything hoppy, though, because I don't trust their beer knowledge and how they handle their product, so I wouldn't get anything hoppy, because you don't know how old that's going to be. Right. But if you want to go in and, like, get some stouts from... some brewery that you trust, I mean, that should be fine.
I mean, do they have anything different than you would find in a liquor store?
Yeah. Okay. Well, not really all that different, but
yeah,
they do, like I did say on our review of it, they actually do have a pretty good bottle selection.
Okay.
They really do. So that's nice. But anyway, that's that. Mark wanted to quick ask you about what kind of beers have you been drinking lately? What anything impressed you? Anything hasn't. We know you had that pumpkin retribution.
Yes,
but
that was good. Still working. Well, not working since I'm almost done. All the beers that I brought back from Florida, Cigar City and Brew Bus. All I have is a High Lie left.
Mm.
And High Lie. A Takabaga.
Tokabaga. Red Ale.
Yeah, that's it.
Those beers are so good.
Those two are the last two I have left. And.
Well, there is possibility that we could end up getting Cigar City at some point.
That would be very nice.
Because we didn't talk about it on the podcast, I don't think, but the investment company that owns Oscar Blues recently purchased Cigar City. And so what I'm hoping is that they go ahead and use the same distribution lines as Oscar Blues, because then that means we can get some Cigar City in
Maryland.
That'd
be nice.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like you'd be on cloud nine if you could go in and get High Lie all the time.
High Lie and
the Maduro.
Maduro. God, if I could drink those beers, those two beers for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Although the recent High Lie I've had, very sediment heavy. Like crazy amounts of sediment to the point where it's like thick chunks at the bottom. And I'm like, I don't remember this the last time, or maybe I just, you know.
Just makes you work your jaw a little bit.
It's still good, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Unfiltered ordeal.
Unfiltered. It's good, though.
Well, on the topic of the Maduro, like, I always remember that I like Maduro, but when I go back and taste it, I'm always impressed again.
Yeah.
You know, because... there aren't that many brown ales out there that people are like, oh, yeah, that brown ale, man.
Yeah,
but
you don't hear much about that.
Maduro's like the exception.
Yeah.
It's a very nice brown ale.
It is a good beer.
Tons of coffee notes to it.
That's probably what helps.
Yeah, it's done.
Take note, other brown ale makers.
I agree with that. Take note, all you brown alers.
Yeah.
So any other beers you can think of recently? Good or bad. Whatever you want to throw out there.
When I went to World of Beer, I had their the Mojo Nitro, the IPA. I get why you would want a nitro. It kind of muted the taste of the hops. Like, very smooth, so you would have gotten hammered pretty quickly. Like, it's very smooth, not much of an alcohol taste, but not much of any taste. It's very, like, it muted. I also had their chocolate shake nitro porter. That was really good. That was straight tasted like chocolate milk, like no doubt. And I guess it muted the rest of the flavors except for the chocolate, so it was very smooth going down. That I really liked. Didn't like the Mojo Nitro too much.
Yeah, we'll touch on the World of Beer thing on the next episode more, but I have typically found that when it comes to nitro taps, I'm not a big fan of the hoppy beers on nitro because I want the more aggressive hop aspects.
Yeah.
And it really just mutes it and makes it creamy and
Yeah.
Takes the hops down, but love it for stouts because it makes them more milk chocolatey. And,
that chocolate shake of Boulder makes it.
Yeah, the Boulder chocolate. Brewing.
Yeah, yep. that was tasty. Not my favorite beer, but we'll get into that the next episode.
Yeah. Well, then I've also heard that there was a guy who is actually on another podcast, because I do listen to podcasts here and there. Beer, that is. I listen to a lot of other podcasts, but just a few beer ones. On Craft Beer Temple's Insider's Roundtable, done by Chris Quinn, which is amazing. Everyone should check out. Someone was on there, one of their guests, saying that they had Founders Rubius, which is a raspberry ale, on Nitro. They said it was phenomenal, that it tasted like a raspberry shake. And I was like, oh my God, I want that so bad right now. That
sounds really good.
So I guess fruited beers like that, like higher ABV fruited beers, would probably do really well on Nitro taps. So I would hope that maybe breweries / restaurants or bars around here could try something like that.
OC Brewing.
OC Brewing. No.
Just Nitro everything, right? At least it goes down smooth.
That's true. It could do that. Anyway, yeah, we'll touch on the full experience with World of Beer and some things that I've heard about World of Beer for the next episode. And, yeah. But for now, let's do our first of the recording session, our first set of mystery beers.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is A, the light one.
Yeah, so A is very yellow, almost like a little bit of an orangish tinge. And I can see right through that.
Yeah.
I can see your new haircut right through it, Mark.
It's beautiful. Not much of a head.
Yeah, no. It's just like a little bit around the edges. Yeah. You know, white head to it. So pretty basic. Let's get a smell in there.
Oh, I can smell. That's great.
Ooh. There's something that's a little weird in there. There's a little bit. Mark, I'm going to invoke it.
Tart.
But there's a little bit of a tart note, but it's like a citrusy tart.
Yeah. That's.
But there is like a funky sour.
There's that Kyle notation right there. The dirty dish rag.
Dirty dish rag. There's some honey notes in there. A little bit of a piney aspect. Plenty of citrus, like an orange, little orange peel to me.
Smells kind of pilsner, like very light, crisp, like.
I mean, it smells.
You don't smell much outside of the citrus. I mean, yeah. There's no notes that jump out at you outside of like your.
My first few whiffs of it, I was mainly getting that dirty dish rag aspect. But as I kept smelling it and I'm swirling it, I'm getting a lot more of the citrus. I'm getting a little bit more of that pine.
Yeah, I didn't get much of the dirty dish rag. Just a little bit, but I think it smells pretty good.
Yeah, actually, pine. It's starting to smell pretty nice. Mm, yeah, and it does have like a little bit of a tartness on the nose, but I think it's kind of like a citrusy, hoppy tartness.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, since I was drinking some tea, I'm going to drink some water. But Mark, you already took a sip. What are you thinking there?
Flat. Very flat. Bland.
You mean like flavor profile or carbonation?
Yeah, like just... Oh, both? Can I say both? Because there's not much carbonation, and you might as well just give me a glass of water.
It's very light.
Yeah. Crisp. Like, I mean, it's...
It is crisp.
I could see this drinking a summer night or something like that, but...
Mm-hmm. It comes off lager. Like, it tastes like a lager. It's got a very lager-type finish to it. It's got more bitterness than I was expecting from the nose, but I'm getting... Like a little bit of hoppy characteristic, including some apricot notes in there that are kind of nice. A little bit of a grassiness.
Very easy to drink, but.
Some of that honey's coming through.
Yeah.
As well. It is easy. I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either, but I want more from a beer than, you know, this.
I don't think it's bad.
Again, not bad, but not great.
Yeah.
Not great at all.
There's a little bit of a lime characteristic to it, too.
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of honey.
Honey, definitely. Lime, touch of apricot. Mm. The finish is really bitter, though.
Yeah.
And it's starting to build even more after each sip.
I feel like this is very low ABV, like like 5% or under.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. I'm not, I don't,
I always steer clear of beers that low because I usually want, you know, my money's worth.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I've almost drank all of it, so clearly it wasn't gross, but.
Yeah, no, like it goes down pretty quick. Like, it doesn't put up a fight.
No.
I mean, there's flavor there, but it's not crazy amount where you have to really take your time with it.
It's not.
It's an in-betweener. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that. All right, I'll have to think about a number for that one. I'm a little confused on it, but going over to B, B looks like reddish brown.
Yeah.
I can't see through it.
Can't see through it very. It's not
It's not like crazy dark.
No.
But
seems like it's cloudy.
Yeah, it is a bit cloudy.
Not much of a head again.
There's like no head to it. Oh my gosh. It smells like a Scotch ale right off the bat. It smells like a Scotch ale.
Definitely smell the alcohol.
Smell a bit of an alcohol. I smell cherries. Like
that, yeah, cherries, definitely.
Dark cherries mixed with some molasses.
Mmm.
It smells kind of nice.
It does smell very good.
A little bit of like a smoked peat moss, kind of. Like smoked peat. It's got a little bit of that. Mmm, it smells good,
it does,
man.
Smell good.
It kind of smells like Founder's Dirty Bastard.
Yes, I smell like caramel or something, like, you know.
There's a caramel, the molasses-y note I was talking about kind of fits along with that. There's a slight vanilla on the nose as well. Very slight. A little bit of a brown sugar, but that kind of goes with the molasses as well. I think it smells really nice.
It does smell really good there.
And I'm going to stick with what I said. It smells quite a bit like Founder's Dirty Bastard to me. Which is a Scotch ale. Ooh.
Good.
Those cherries. Like,
definitely
really
get
hit.
The cherry.
The cherry's like way up front.
Definitely get a lot of alcohol. Like, you can taste the alcohol big time.
There's a decent amount of alcohol to it, yes. I don't think it's
too much. It's very drinkable, though, for sure.
Well, and there's a lot of body to it to kind of back up the alcohol, in my opinion. And there's a lot of that dark cherry flavor. Like, just think, like, really dark cherries that you've ever had.
Yeah.
Like, not, like, the lighter-colored, like, tart ones. These are, like, dark, sweet cherries. And it tastes a lot like that. I'm getting some of that molasses-y note, a little brown
sugar.
Goes
down really smooth.
Vanilla.
Like, there isn't much bitterness to it. I mean, tart on the front, but once it goes down, smooth.
That's pretty solid. I'm gonna bet this probably is like a Scotch ale.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that. I'm not nuts about it.
Yeah.
But I like it.
I'd
drink it again for sure. So much cherry, man. So much cherry.
Some kind of black cherry ale. Are you gonna say Founders? Are you just
No. Well, I mean, I don't know where Rebecca necessarily gets everything, so.
That's true.
It could be. It doesn't quite taste like Dirty Bastard to me. Although it has been a little bit since I've had that, so. It's like a dialed back version.
I feel like I taste some vanilla. You said vanilla?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I smell the vanilla.
Slight vanilla character.
I like this one better than the first one, but I'm not, you know, I'm not in love with this one either.
Yeah. If you love cherry.
Well, see, I'm not a huge cherry guy. Like, if this had, like, if it was, like, chocolate cherry, that would hit the spot a little bit more.
I was going to say go back to A. You already finished it.
I don't have
it.
Any A.
Can't be that bad.
Oh, it's not. It went down smooth, and I haven't had beer in a while, so.
But after having B, I went back to A, and it took a lot of the bitterness away from the flavor
really?
Of A. So A is tasting a little more citrusy to me, even more crisp than it was. And I get a little more of that kind of stone fruit apricot note. It's not bad. I mean, these are two pretty in-the-middle beers. Solid. I could recommend them.
I'm not in love with either of them. I probably wouldn't drink them again, personally.
All right. So would you like to take the lead on A? What do you want to give A?
I'll give it a 2.
Mark's going to give it a 2. I don't think it's... That
you know
bad.
What? I'll change mine to a 3 because you're right. It's not that bad. I don't want to because 2. You know, I'll give it a 3.
I'm gonna do a 3 as well, actually. And then B. What are you thinking on B? I think B's.
There's something very flat. I like still about this one.
There is not a whole lot of carbonation.
I'll give it a 3 too.
Okay. And I'll go four. I think four is where that needs to be. So these really weren't that far apart. B's the overall winner with a 3.5 and a loser with a 3, but close.
Beers, you know? Like, if you got them, you know, at, if you were trying it at a bar, you drink it. But you probably, I wouldn't, I certainly wouldn't ask for a second. I would try something different. That's.
But an overall 3 and 3.5 for the show, historically, is that's pretty, a solid beer.
Yeah. So that's why I didn't want to give it a 2, because it's, you know, there isn't anything terrible about it. It's just solid, not, nothing great either.
All right, well, I'm going to reveal A. A with the loser with an overall 3 is... Oh, Solid Sender Ale by Trogues Independent Brewing.
5.2.
5.2%. It's a, I guess it's, what is it technically? Solid Sender Ale. I think it's like their version of like a pale ale or, oh, it says, caramel malt and cascade hops.
Caramel.
Yeah, there's a little,
that in the other one.
A little bit of a mosaic hop characteristic. So, I mean...
See, I wouldn't gravitate towards an ale anyway if I was, you know, going to pick out a beer at a liquor store.
I don't think that's bad. I mean, it's decent. I've been wanting to try this beer, too.
Oh, really?
Because I had not had it prior.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
To those who like pale ales, I would recommend it. To those who would rather have something more hoppy, move along.
It does have... A bit of, like, a lagery finish to it.
Yeah,
it's
I
weird.
Thought, I, yeah.
Oh, well.
I think it would be.
Interesting. All right, well, let's see. Winner of the episode overall, 3.5, is Snow and Tell Oak Age Scotch Ale.
That would be my beer from,
Oh, it is.
It is, indeed.
From Boulevard Brewing out of Kansas City, Missouri. Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't have a great rating on, Beer rating.
It's not bad, man. Yeah. Beer Advocate. This is not a bad
rate of beer, or whatever. Rate beer, whatever it is. I don't think it was Beer Advocate, but
6.3% alcohol. It tastes about that. Yeah, that's on par.
I would have expected a little higher, but
yeah. Well, when I picked,
I mean, because considering these two are less than 1% off, that's weird.
When I picked this as one of my prize beers from the tournament, I was like, oh, Oak Age Scotch Ale. That sounds pretty good. I think when we were saying we were getting some vanilla, that's where the oak was coming in.
Okay.
Because you can get vanilla notes from oak aging. But we nailed it on the Scotch Ale. Definitely tastes.
Hey, maybe that beer would have went fast the first round. And,
yeah, who knows?
Unlike my other beers.
Well, Boulevard, you nailed it when you said Scotch Ale. I mean, it definitely tastes like a Scotch Ale. We're trying it blind, and we can be like, that's a Scotch Ale. So... Very scotch-y. So, all right, this was good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry there wasn't anything phenomenal, but...
Well...
Maybe next time.
There was nothing terrible either, so...
That's a
I guess
great
I'll
point.
Take...
Nobody slipped in the natty light.
Then, yeah.
Nobody slipped in the natty light.
I don't know, has there ever been a slip in where she's like, I'm just going to throw a Budweiser in here just to...
Not yet, but she tells me she thinks about it all the time. And when she goes to Wine World, she tells me that Mike from Wine World always... tries to encourage her to do that.
Well, maybe he should, like, give her something terrible. Like, not doesn't have to necessarily be a macro beer, but,
yeah,
you know.
Well, that could happen.
But can you pull, like, for a mix six or something like that? Or would she have to buy, like, a six-pack of Miller Lite or something?
Well, no,
like that?
Well, like, actually, that's a good question, because I don't know if
maybe that's why she steers clear, because then you have to buy 5 more bottles or
you can't do
30
that.
More cans or whatever just for one episode.
They might allow you to do that. I can't recall, but I know for the craft beers, they'll let you buy a single bottle from a six-pack if you want, and you can do mix six, but I don't know about the macros.
Yeah.
I would think that they might not, because most people probably are not doing that.
Yeah, it's quantity instead of quality with macros. So why would you, like, how would they even? Oh, it's 25 cents.
People who are drinking Coors Light are getting 30 of them to pound in, like, one night.
So
that is the Coors Light drinker, typically. Yeah. So anyway, Mark, thanks for being on.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some fun stuff next episode.
I'll be back.
We're going to do a warm-up beer next episode, too. So everyone be ready for that. And good times. So everybody, don't forget, until next time, to
keep it brutal. I feel so- This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.